B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb. Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
Diamond Rolex with gators on my feet. I get some pepper every day of the week. My hair is done. My fingernails too. Six buttons down and I don't know what to do. Must be the money.
Must be the money.
It's turning them on.
Must be the money.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Now, is this week 12 of the pandemic Rooney?
Oh, man.
Certainly feels like it, Fred.
I think it is week 12.
I don't know, but one of the reasons, first of all, two reasons for starting with Dion. Number one, it's almost impossible to be in a bad mood when you hear that song comes out, you just start feeling all like Dion did back in the 90s, early 90s, primetime era.
Because you know coronavirus, Dion has got like a sunken living room and like an indoor jacuzzi. we can bring it in. So.
But now he looks like Grandpa Dion. Like if he's got his beard got, he's got a gray beard. So that sucker just grew out. He let it grow out too. But the other thing is that I was talking to my wife yesterday, and we mentioned something about something about the Super Bowl. There was we were talking about Tom Brady or something, and somehow the Super Bowl came up, and I was just saying that seems like a million years ago. Like we just think of this past February seems like 3 years have gone by since then. Not even the same like millennium. And you think about it too, Miami and all these people came down there. It was packed, and now just everything. If you watch like videos of even like Super Bowl week, or I've got like pictures from like Radio Row, I'm like, that just seems like a different lifetime. And it was only 4 months ago in February that happened.
Well, I watch Billy on the Street, which is Billy Eichner's show. It's like a comedy show where he goes out with celebrities or whatever on the streets in New York, and people kiss him, and he pushes people away and stuff. And I'm like, wow, they're in New York touching each other.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. I mean,
yes.
I don't know why it hit me just this weekend. I know there's the big joke has been every day seems the same, and this has been the longest month ever. But the Super Bowl just seems like a million years ago. And it said, think about it. Realistically, wasn't that long. But my God, things have not only changed, but just a lifetime of weirdness in just this 4 months.
This is a terrible year. Now, John, are you back at the station?
No. Nope.
Okay. When do people go back to the station?
There's a rumor that it might happen next Monday. Management has yet to make a firm decision on that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird, too, because because we're technically in Boston, where the station would be, and even when, next week, I think, is, part three of phase one, when
There's
25%. Right, it's 1.3. It's re-entry 1.3.
Yeah.
So they're basically saying that 25% of offices can be filled in Massachusetts, except Boston. Like, Boston is the one outlier because it's still such a hot zone. And so obviously we are considered essential workers, so that's out the window. But it is going to be a strange reentry in how they kind of – and every time they send out an email, there's always this hedging of bets, we may need to move this back, and they've had to move it back several times. So I'm not quite sure when that's going to be, but I do know that in the city of Boston next week, when you're talking about, John, them possibly wanting it back, I think it's still, if you're a non-essential business – a no-no, according right. to the government's plan.
Everything is fluid, but that's the thing. What you say today doesn't necessarily mean that it goes for tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very soft date of next Monday, June 1st, but that is subject to change.
Okay, so if they're making me take vacation next week here because I have to quarantine myself for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you think if they don't lift the ban that I would work from here next week and then take the week and then do the 2 weeks? Wouldn't you think that was what would happen?
Well, I think that – okay, so they're having you – okay, so this week you're in Tennessee, and then you're going to fly back. And
no.
for 1 week you're going
no.
to be in Boston quarantine.
No. This week I'm in Tennessee. Next week I'm staying here, and they are going to then I got to stay here and take a vacation week, which they're making me take a vacation. Then I fly back to Boston. Then, because I dare leave the state, I am to broadcast from home for 2 weeks. So I don't quite know why.
That sounds right. Yeah, that plan actually sounds right.
But that was under the guise that people would be coming back next week.
But you being 3 weeks from now, that would still fit the timeline of you coming back.
No, I
see what I mean.
Like, that. No. But it would be like everyone was back, so I had to take the vacation here to go back and then do the 2 week quarantine. So why wouldn't everything get pushed back a week?
Oh, if everyone's coming back next week?
No, if no one's coming back next week, it should all get pushed back a week.
Oh,
do you understand what I'm
math.
Saying?
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah. I see what you mean.
Because at that point, it doesn't matter. If I'm there, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on.
Well, I do know that, like, it's kind of, I mean, as I said, everything's like algebra now. And I know that at first they don't want more than one person in every studio. So, and then they're going to end up easing into two people in the big studio. Cause usually you, me and John are all in the same room. We're all in a big studio. Now we're pretty spread out, but I think that's a no-no for a while. I think they want it to be.
You're big on the term no-no.
Yes, they want that to not to happen then, Fred, if you would like me to use that.
Very, very infantile. That's a good no-no.
I've been dealing with kids, living amongst kids,
Fred,
and not being
come
able to
on.
Escape
we've
them for
all,
a while.
We've all had
all right?
this problem.
I'll use the word, I'm going to use the word duty 15 times today, too, because these are all things. You're kind of lower on the verbal scale when these are the kids you hang out with. But no, so they're usually what they do is it's all three of us in the studio. But I think they're going to start with just John. And then it's going to be two people in the studio. And if I come back at first, I believe I'm going to be in that production studio that's not being used,
yes.
the one that's kind of looking into you guys.
Yes.
So, and then there's like this weird ballet you got to do in the bathroom. Like, how are they going to do that? I think that's like no more than two people allowed in the bathroom. Like, is
not
there going to be
there.
Basically a notch you have, or like a little thing you have to write on the door before you go in?
like
hangman?
Yeah.
No, you got to put your tie in the handle.
That's right. Yeah.
Right,
like, how are you going to mark that there's only two people in the bathroom? It's probably you're probably right. You gotta like there's a little marker there, and then you
go. I forgot about the virus for a while because I haven't gone anywhere, and I'm, in this hick town, and so, like I haven't experienced anything with it. I haven't really gone anywhere, so I forget about it. But they're allowing carts at my country club, so it's a very exciting time.
I had to turn off the TV yesterday because I've just accepted that no matter what's going to happen, there's going to be pockets of idiots, and the idiots are going to get the most press. So I'm trying to convince myself that when I see people like at the Alabama Shores this weekend where it was like a cluster F. I mean, it was just a massive humanity, and I watched all the interviews of like – it's like it never existed, and it's like they're all on top of each other, and there's restaurants that nobody's wearing masks, and everyone's – I mean, and the interviews are like, well, when you got to go, when it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And you just sit there, but then you got to tell yourself there's always going to be idiots, and this is what's getting the press, and that you got to think that everywhere else – everyone's doing the right thing. So it's Fred, I'm like you. I've kind of just like, you know, trying to get away from all that news and just hoping that people are still being cool with all this. Not like it's like having, you know, it's like having a peeing section of a pool. You know, you can't do that. It's like everyone kind of has to take care of themselves, but I'm trying to just look the other way and realize that kids will always pee in the end of the pool and that I don't want to have to even think about that part of it.
I can tell you this, if I was in my 20s, I'd be doing the exact same crap as them. Yeah, you have no. I mean, you have no. You want to get laid. You want to be out.
But you'd be wearing a mask though when you're out and about. Like that's
not if I was at the beach.
Well, you don't understand. No, this is not just people at the beach not wearing masks. You can go to the beach and not wear a mask if you're spread out. That's fine. You've got to see it. Like this is a boardwalk jammed with people, like filled with people. Everyone's on top in nightclubs, like 1,000 people in a pool together. Dude, it's nightmare.
That was the
stuff.
Ozarks.
Well, that's also Alabama. I mean, the Ozarks won't get a lot of play, too.
I thought the Ozarks were Missouri.
Well, no, but I'm saying in Alabama, the same thing is happening. Like, there was this big thing that was on CBS last night. The Ozark one got a lot of press, too. But I'm also convinced that just that's the stuff that's getting the press because it's obviously it gets people visceral and it gets them upset. And I'm hoping and thinking that's not happening everywhere.
Only in
the Ozarks, Alabama, and on Scott Zolak's Twitter account. Everywhere else, everyone's cool.
I don't care what anyone does anymore. You can do whatever you want. As long as I can figure out what the hell my situation is here. I don't understand. My father is mystified by what's going on. And, like, if I have to take a vacation, that's fine. But if no one is going back to work next week, then why can't I broadcast from here? I don't understand. I don't care about the quarantine when I come back, even though I'm at somewhere that's 100 times safer than being in Boston. But, I mean, in fact, I like being quarantined. Fine. You quarantine me. I'll work from home. I don't care. But I would much prefer to be here than I would be to be in Newton. And what's the difference? Here's my thing. If I'm broadcasting from somewhere, what the hell difference does it make if I'm here or if I'm there?
Well, I think it's the amount of time that it takes to quarantine. It's like the 2 weeks before you
travel. Then I'll leave after the next week, and I won't have to take the vacation time. I don't know. Everyone's freaking out, and I don't get. Listen, I had my huge freak out, and there's fallout from it and all this stuff. But that's my own life. In terms of us getting back to the station, I mean, either do it or don't do it. I don't know what's going on. All right. Rich, it's been 3 days. Rich, what's going on, sir? What do we got coming
up? Well, speaking of getting back to normal, we got an update with the NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NFL. Finally, some steps, actual real movement to hopefully be made today with at least two of those leagues.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Guff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? Sweet, sweet, long first ball stop sets. Just enough time. By the way, I've ordered cigars.
Really?
Cigars. That's how old I've become.
Ooh.
I played golf with my father yesterday, and he's 78. And every time we sat back down in the cart, it sounded like, He's wearing a back brace. I'm in total back pain. Now I've caved in. I'm going to start smoking cigars.
Wait a minute. You have a bad back all of a sudden, or is this something I missed?
Ever since the the coronavirus hit, I guess I've been carrying a tremendous amount of stress in my back.
Oh, sure.
And it's like not going away, and I've done all my tricks. It's not sciatica. It's in the middle of my back.
Uh-huh.
And I've been, I guess I've been like, it's getting better all the time, but like, I mean, the tension, but I guess I carried so much tension in my back. And when I, like I said, when I get nervous, I start coughing.
Sure.
And so I've just done something to my back that I can't roll out. So I'm becoming an old man. And then I saw Michael Jordan smoking cigars during the Jordan thing.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? I need a vice.
Hang on. So you have a coughing problem, so you're considering taking up smoking cigars.
Yeah. One is not the other.
Good for you for connecting the dots, Rich. That was good.
I will tell you this, is that if you play poker with me and I'm in a certain mood, you're going to win a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because I'll start coughing. Like, before I fly, I start coughing. And, like, before, like, I got to do, like, something in public speaking or something, I start coughing. So it's like this dry cough, which I'm sure everyone who's afraid of the coronavirus gets very excited about. But, yeah, that is... So I've done something to my back. So my father, I am now a 78-year-old man with a stogie and a bad back, hitting the lanks, trying to get something done.
Just when you smoke it, be more like Jordan and less like Joe Burrow. Because there's a way to look cool doing it, and then there's a way to look like douchey. Yeah. So
you
be
don't,
more Jordan.
Well, you don't savor it. No, you don't sit there and like close your eyes and go, yeah. No, it's like an accoutrement. You know, it's like what Will Smith says: "Cuban cigar, I don't like it. It's for the look. I don't light it." You know, that's like me.
You got to be able to talk with it in your mouth. You know, like a general.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Like Eisenhower. Yeah, I sit there and I put it in my mouth. There you go. That's what I do. Yeah. So I'm going to be real cool. All right. I've given up on everything. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, look at the NHL deciding to be all proactive. Over the weekend, a memo was distributed to all the teams telling them to get ready for phase two. What the hell was phase one? Waiting at home?
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Phase one was quarantine, everybody.
But
and
what
phase
we do
two
know...
is the transition from quarantine.
Oh, well, then we do know that phase two... that's going to allow players to train in small groups at team facilities. Coaches and staff members, they will not be allowed on the ice with the players. And the groups will be limited to 6 skaters and held without any sort of contact. And one problem. City hasn't allowed for any sort of team facility to be reopened, but that's okay because just like everything else the NHL does, they really haven't committed to a date for
that's the thing. Phase get ready.
Two.
Get ready. We don't know when, but get ready.
Sorry.
Right.
I saw this, I was like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
On top of, I mean, of all the leagues, I want this one to start the most. And every time they just crap something out, you're like,
No, they're gonna start. They're all playing. All these leagues are playing.
NHL drags their feet more than anyone.
But if New York says the teams can practice, they're playing. And New York did. I mean, they said all the teams can practice. So, I mean, do you want to be the governor or the mayor and have the Rangers practicing and say that the Bruins can't?
Well, so
I mean,
far.
But the NHL is saying
no, but
that
would that's admit that that would be not good politically. Because that's a headline. You know, normal people are going to read. You know, average sports fan Joe is going to know that every other NHL team is practicing and the Bruins are sitting home.
Don't forget, Baker and Cuomo got together, and the two of them, along with a block of how many other states? There's New Jersey and Connecticut, and they're all kind of easing back in together as a block.
Yeah.
So New York going back to work should mean that Massachusetts will be right behind them.
So this is interesting because on top of all that, players must be tested 48 hours prior to returning to the facility. And they're going to have to, of course, do daily temperature checks at home before heading over there. Now, if you got a temperature of 99.5, you'd be told, get the F out of here. Players must also wear...
99.5?
Yep, at the facility.
That's not even considered a fever in an adult.
That's just a practice. That's not to play in a game. This is just to go into the facility if you have a
99.5 is if you test 99.5, that's not considered a fever medically.
That's the NHL for you. They said 99.5.
Well, that's
you can't
ridiculous.
Go into the facility.
Well, that is absolutely ludicrous. You can be perfectly healthy with no virus or no bacterial infection or anything.
They're only allowing 6 players in, Fred. I mean, it's like they're being really cautious.
Yeah, but 99.5 is ridiculous.
It does seem strange.
Well, no, if you felt ill and you took your temperature at 99.5, would you think that you had a fever?
I think maybe I should keep an eye on this, but no. I wouldn't think it'd be like one of those things. All right, well, I'll just keep an eye on it.
I mean, just simply Google it. I mean, Google it. I mean, if you go to the doctor and you go, I have a 99.5 fever, they're going to go, thanks for the insurance money, go home.
Yeah, well, we'll put it this way. Places like Disney World and a bunch of other places that are doing temperature scans, I believe it's at 100.4.
That's fair.
That's the getting in and getting out.
Fine,
and at least that's over 100. 99.5 seems fairly low.
No, 99.5 could be the way you run, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just could be that you run hot.
Maybe they're factoring in that you're close to ice, so it's lower than it normally would be.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's exactly how it works.
Like when you get out of your car.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, if you're in air conditioning, it goes down to like 96, and then when you get out, it's 99.5. All right, well, very good. Well, that's idiotic, but I guess it sells newspapers.
It's strange. Players must also wear masks when off the ice and not exercising. Coaches not allowed to have any face-to-face interaction with the players during this time. And the NHL also apparently approved the format that they will use if it returns to play. 24 teams would make the field. The top 4 teams would get byes. Everything else after that, really vague, because of course it is. Like, no word on whether the teams will be reseeded after the first round or where this is all going to take place. The NHL is aiming to stage games in what they're calling 2 or 4 hub cities, which, once again, the number of all of these cities keeps getting lower or higher. Now it's 2 to 4, which will be in existing NHL markets, and the league has reportedly narrowed its list down to 8 or 9 different options. Vegas, the heavy favorite, given the city's ability to potentially house as many as 12 teams in one hotel. The NHL would also like to choose a Canadian city as a host one. One of the reasons is that it's cheaper, actually, to stage games.
Put them
in
Winnipeg. I mean, what the hell's going to happen there?
Sure.
Pop them up in Winnipeg.
Don't forget, guys, you need, if you're going to house all these teams in one facility, you need multiple rinks. You need 4 or 5 rinks where you can have practices and games going on all the time. That's one reason why the NBA is going to Orlando, because they have how many courts?
It's 6 at Disney, and then you've got the Magic's facility, too.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you're going to house all these teams, say, in Vegas, great. How many ice rinks do they have within a drive in Vegas?
At least 2. I mean, obviously,
but you need a lot more than that, is my point.
Yeah, you would think so. I don't know, to be quite honest, how many they have out there. But players and staff participating in, of course, Phase 2, they will be tested for the coronavirus 2 days before they are scheduled to participate. They'll also be tested twice a week afterwards, though players are told to self-administer their temperature checks. Now, what's crazy, and we were talking about this a second ago, what's crazy about the Bruins facility not being open yet is that the Bruins might consider doing what the Celtics are rumored to be discussing. Teams in cities where they can't access their facilities yet, like Toronto is one of these as well, they're reportedly hoping to bypass working out in their city altogether and report right to whichever venue the NBA chooses to host its return. So according to Adrian Wojnarowski, he said most teams in the region still adhering to, of course, the stay-home policies, which there aren't many left, have an abundance of players who left the market during the shutdown. Like, a lot of the Celtics players aren't here anymore, and they would need to quarantine for an extended period, as many as 14 days prior to working out here.
That's
the thing. So imagine this. Let's say, I don't know if Jason Tatum, if he went to St. Louis, if he came from St. Louis to here, before he was allowed back in the practice facility, he would have to quarantine for 14 days. And then, let's say this was all in Disney. Jason Tatum would then, when he traveled to Disney, would have to quarantine once again for 14 days in order to comply with all the things the NBA has put out there. Instead, players right now are saying, I'd rather just go directly to where we're going to play and only have to quarantine once. So that means you might even not even have any workouts at the Celtics facility.
Yeah.
So it makes total sense. It's something I would do if I was on the Celtics.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
But we still don't officially know where the league's going to be playing. Or do we, Mr. Wojnarowski?
Everything is pointing toward a return of the NBA this season at a single site in Orlando at Disney World. And teams expect the league to tell them to start recalling their players as soon as next week. And there'll be a two-week quarantine back in markets. Some teams might go directly to Disney to start training or somewhere in between. But the league has started to not only put the plans in place for a return in terms of testing and safety health-wise, but really digging this week into what that format is going
to
look like.
This music.
I know.
The ESPN is hysterical. Like, they'll let you, it's funny, they let you talk for about 10 seconds and they go, it's going to get funky. Just let the Woj take it through Funk Town. He's the George Clinton of ESPN. Scow.
George Clinton of breaking sports news.
That's right. And unpronounceable last names. All right, Rich. We're going to have the headlines. What are we going to talk about after those?
All right. Big day for Major League Baseball. This is going to be one that determines a lot of things, or at least the beginning of those discussions. We'll get to that.
All right. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Two things. A, young Nicholas is taking care of Senorita Fluff, as it is the warm weather months, and he's telling me about her actions. He should be paying me for the opportunity to come in there and pet such a beautiful, beautiful beast. A beast, a tender beast, a beast who walks the runway of the counter. And then also, I have this. I'm not going to go into a big thing, but okay, so at 6 o'clock on TBS, Family Matters is on. And everyone's familiar with Family Matters, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Winslow, Carl Winslow, the father figure on the show. You know him from Die Hard. He gets a thing of ashes. What do you call that thing that they put the ashes in?
An urn?
An urn. Okay, so there's an urn of ashes. What happens?
He tips it over. The ashes go everywhere.
All right. Now, how does he solve the problem?
He gets other ashes and fills it up.
From where?
The fireplace.
You, my friend, could just write a sitcom episode. Because that's exactly what happens. Oh. He tips over the urn. Chaos ensues. He then goes to the fireplace. Now, you have to understand, I'm listening to the show. I mean, you could just imagine being Miller Boyette, who did all these shows like Full House and all those stupid, you know, every dumb show. God,
you know the name of the guy who wrote all these episodes?
Dude, they don't write them. They just produce them.
Right, it's just what's it called when you have an anagram? Once you plug in something and it shoots out a formula? Algorithm. There's an algorithm to all this.
No, Miller Boyette, they find a room full of monkeys and they put them on 100 keyboards and then they come out with this crap.
Maybe dog on the Ubu thing is really the one who writes them all. Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Miller Boyette keeps it light. They pan out of the south side of Chicago, and you know, everything's good there. And then as they pan out, you can see the several hundred murders happening simultaneously as they do that. But there you go. You just encapsulated the episode in less than a minute.
All right.
That is exactly what happened.
It's not a formula whatsoever.
But it's not so much what's happening as the comedic timing and gesturing that goes into it.
That was Reginald Ville Johnson's gift, was that face.
Is he not with us anymore?
Ooh, I get
that. I think he's dead. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say that he is passed.
I think you might be right.
He doesn't look like he took very good care of himself. You know, he was extremely overweight for many years.
Still
he
living.
Was also, I think that he was Crocodile Dundee's limo driver.
Oh, good call. Yeah, that's right.
Warthogs, Harlem Warthogs.
That's
remember,
right.
he took the thing off the back, the bones off the back of the limo and used it like a boomerang. And that really impressed Crocodile Dundee because, hey,
yes.
Australia boomerangs, you know, now you're speaking his language.
Fred,
you know,
67 years strong, Fred, still with us.
Oh.
You know, he was part of the defense team in Philadelphia.
The defense team?
I don't remember that.
Because he wasn't. You know, he was in Star Wars. He was Lando Calrissian.
Oh, good.
All right.
A little larger than I remember, although
no,
current Lando's kind of big.
I was just going to say.
What do you want out of Billy Dee Williams?
Yeah, he's expanded a little.
All that malt liquor and booty? You're going to put on a few pounds.
Those commercials were the best. Does it every time.
Yeah.
Cold 45. Does it every time.
Yeah, you just have a girl.
Hello.
And I used to, in college, think that malt liquor, like cold 45, was cool. Like, it was smooth.
See, I was about to say, when's the last time you drank malt liquor when you didn't have to? Like, malt liquor was always like a dare drink. Like, you know, 45 ounces to freedom, it would be like taped to your hands.
The last time it was my senior year of college, was the last time I've drank malt liquor. Because it used to be the only, OE was the only thing that we could get. They would give us cases of OE. It was like there was one store that was the only store that would take our fake IDs because they didn't care. And they would just give us cases of OE because no one would buy them. And so they would be like, just take these. And I'm not big on this liquor makes you sick, but there's two times that the particular liquor made me sick. One was Crash's wedding when it had an open bar. But I'm not lying, and Rich can back me up, that it is the cheapest collection of liquor. It made Ghibli's gin look like some, you know, absinthe from 1820. I mean, it was this grandma's tongue whiskey and all this stuff. And I'm in Key West, and I'm in my 20s. And, you know, in your 20s, you can do anything.
Yeah.
And I wake up and I have this six pack of beer and I there's a pool there. It's a beautiful day. And I figure I'll go in the pool and I'll be fine. In worst case scenario, like I'll have a couple beers and I'll be back at it. I looked at those beers and threw up and I sat in bed all day in Key West because of the quality of that liquor. Mm-hmm. And then if you drink 440s of OE, that is a day that you are not going to enjoy the next day.
No,
well, listen, I just gave you a little Reginald Van Johnson, so you come up with something even better. I dare you.
Well, how about a sports update for you? How about we get some sports updates on what's happening with the sports?
Well, yeah, baby.
If you know what's happening with the sports that aren't sports right now, it is going to be a big day for Major League Baseball. This is actually something that to keep an eye on. Finally. Baseball and the Players Association will meet today to hopefully come to an agreement on how to get this stupid season started. For those that need a refresher, all right, the players have already agreed not to get paid this season for the games they didn't play, and now the owners want the players to forego not only that money, but now also do a 50-50 split of the revenue due to lack of fans in the stands. The players are saying, hey, we had an agreement, and think the owners are double-dipping. So here's John Morosi from the Major League Baseball Network on how this is a huge day of them finally sitting down and trying to work things out.
Tuesday is going to be a pivotal day in the history of our national pastime. The nature of this proposal, how the union responds to it over the next week, will determine if we're going to have a season in 2020. I still believe that we will, but I would also expect there to be a pretty intense back and forth and conversation here in the days ahead, culminating in what probably will be maybe not a firm deadline of June 1, but I think it's going to be really important for the parties to come together by the early days of June to move this season forward.
Okay, so now according to reports, to try and get this thing done, the union, the players' union, they're expected to propose a plan that allows players to receive their prorated salaries the way that they want it, based on the number of games played. That was the thing they originally agreed on. But a certain amount of this year's money would be deferred to future years to help reduce the owner's expenses for this season. Now, John, correct me if I'm wrong, because this thing is making my head spin, to be quite honest. But does that mean that the players will eventually get their money, but they're just going to take less this year only to have it paid back over the next year or two?
That's what it means. That's exactly what it means. Okay. And it sounds like a good compromise, but the big problem here, Rich, is trust between the players and owners. More specifically, trust of the owners from the players. And I was reading a story in The Athletic over the weekend by Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellick, who used to work here in Boston. And one of the paragraphs basically says the union wanted proof of the owners' financial distress. They wanted financial documents. And Major League Baseball said, okay, no problem. But it took them over a week to get back to the union. And when they did, they didn't respond in full. They didn't give them all the documentation that they wanted. And the players' union basically said, it's going to take us a long time to pour through all of these things, and time is something we don't have.
Yeah.
So the owners, again, don't forget the collective bargaining agreement expires in December of next year. The thought is now that the players think the owners are going to use this as an excuse not only to limit spending when the new collective bargaining agreement arrives, but they're going to use it as an excuse to crush the players in free agency this coming winter.
And as I've been saying, John, there's no good guy in all this, but this is just more evidence that the owners are being way bigger dicks than the players are.
It's getting to look, the evidence is mounting that is certainly the case.
Yeah. So I mean, keep an eye on what's going to go on today. That seems like a decent proposal. Now, I don't know how that would work if this is the last year of your contract.
Or it's the last year of the CBA. You don't know what spending's going to look like in 2022 and 2023.
Well, no, but they would have to pay you what they owe you regardless if you were still active in baseball.
I understand. What I'm saying is the fallout of all of this is, go back to what I just said, Fred, the players think the owners, if the owners cave to anything the union wants now, this coming winter, players that are on the open market aren't going to get close to market value because the owners are going to cry poor. This is a way to limit spending. That's all this is. This is what the players think the owners are kind of veering towards.
Well, that's been the case, you know, the last few off seasons. If you look at it, I mean, remember Machado and Harper? They eventually got money, but remember them just sitting there dangling?
No, I mean, understand, but ultimately Harper did get over $300 million.
Well, I understand that, but it wasn't... Who else? Who was the pitcher?
No, there were a lot of, like, J.D. Martinez when he first signed with the Red Sox. That happened late in February. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Fred, but
Harper
ultimately...
Harper was a bad example. But, like, a guy like Keuchel, who just, you know, normally would have been scooped up right away. Just
it'll eliminate the middle class. No, I understand. I understand.
Yeah, so I don't know which way... I guess that they could think they'd get screwed in free agency, but again, it's... You know, then you can talk about collusion, and then it gets into all that kind of stuff because, you know, if you want to win, you got to sign these free agents.
I'm at a point now where I just don't care. Just figure it out and let's play ball.
The players are proposing something. It seems very realistic. Listen, we know you're cash strapped, but obviously we agreed to this. So just hold on to the money for now. Pay us later on down the road when the money starts coming in. I think that is a great compromise, especially when one side has already compromised.
They're going to play,
but the owners got to stop being a-holes in all this because they're the bad guys. But the only problem is that the owners aren't speaking. The players are speaking, so all the press is going their way, and the guys who are speaking are dumbasses. Like, as you said, Lefty Magoo, who's like, I got to get mine, who sounds
Blake,
like Fred
Blake
Durst.
Snell.
Yeah.
Blake Snell. Yeah.
Just,
the
players need to...
Younger Rooney.
Yeah, that's right. They need to just stop talking. And the owners are playing this right. No one is saying a word, and so they look better in all this when it's just so abundantly clear that they're the bigger jerks in all of it.
All right, Rich. What do we have coming up?
Okay, the NFL showing its hand a little bit on what they think this upcoming season is going to look like as far as the fan experience is concerned.
All right, we will find out more about that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
All right, so, John, you had a report in your headlines, I believe, that the NFL...
What are you listening to those for?
I know. It's a curse. I must listen just so I can mock him if gets something wrong.
There's nowhere to go. You have to listen.
My lord. This is crazy.
But you had a report in your headlines that the NFL, more specifically Troy Vincent, I think you said that the league is plowing ahead as if the stands will be full in the fall. Is that correct?
He did an interview with the Team 980, the flagship radio station of the Washington Redskins yesterday, and basically he said right now the assumption is stands will be full when the season starts in September. He was quick to add contingency plans are in place for other possibilities, but at the moment, the NFL is proceeding as though stands will be full. He noted that we're still 3 months out from the season starting, and a lot can change.
Well, that seems to contradict what the Steelers are doing, because according to ESPN, in preparation for, you know, potential stadium social distancing situations, the Steelers are only selling half of their available 2020 individual tickets. As a matter of fact, a quote from the director of communications there said, "We're holding back 50% of the individual game tickets because we're preparing for possible social distancing scenarios this year at Heinz Field." So the Steelers put their tickets on sale Friday morning, and they're believed to be the first NFL team to do this, to restrict ticket sales as a precaution because, in their opinion, they're preventing a potentially bigger problem if more tickets are sold than fans are allowed in the stands. And I believe, which I think is a smart thing to do, is if you only sell half of them, hey, if everything clears up and it's a sunshiny day come the beginning of the season, you can sell that other half.
But very quickly.
Very quickly. Instead of, having to issue refunds or figure out who gets what seats, you know, like which half gets to go and which half doesn't get to. But, you know, Troy Vincent saying that is in direct contradiction to what this, I mean, it sounds like everyone is preparing for it to be half, and it's going to be a pleasant surprise if there's more than that. First of all, to me, it's almost like a, I don't want to say all or nothing, because all seems insane. But just the fact that there's no way you can properly social distance the way you want the world to think you are with 40,000 people showing up at a game, which would be half of the tickets sold. I mean, most of these places hold like 70, 80,000 people. So you're telling me that in each of the concourses and getting in and out of the game, like when the game ends, like everyone's going to be socially distanced on the way out to the parking lot?
No.
Like, you can't do that. Yeah, going to the bathrooms.
Maybe they're thinking that things will be a little bit more relaxed by then in terms of having to be 6 feet away at all times. From that many people,
then you're not distanced. Like then just invite everyone. You know, I mean, it's, and I don't want to say it's all or nothing.
No. But if the thinking is probably this, is that judging by the sections you put people in, the concourses are not as busy because they're spread out, and that you lead different groups of people through different exits and entrances. And, it's a half of what you would normally get. You stagger the entrances and you stagger the exits. And it's probably something that they think they could do, certainly. I think that they could do it.
I don't know. But game time is game time, and the end of the game ends at the same time for everyone.
No, but you're dealing with, a place that, like you said, could normally hold,
you know, 70, 80,000 people and you're putting 30,000 people into it. So, I mean, yeah, I think that you could easily deal with that. You could get people in and out.
Because, I mean, I guess the first thing that your mind goes to is, all right, would there be, like, this section is allowed to leave now, and then other section has to wait 10 minutes, and then the other one. But, I mean, how could you organize that and it not be chaos?
No, it would be that there's many entrances into a football stadium.
There aren't that many. There's about, what, maybe like four?
No, there's more than that. There's more than that. But
Gillette only has, like, how many does Gillette have?
How many entrances does Gillette have, John?
During a game.
During a game, I don't think it's two, right? Four, five.
All right, so there's four.
Yeah.
Say there's four. How many are they built to take in? So if you cut that in half of what they're normally to take, it's not one. It's not one. You're saying one entrance, you know, four entrances, but those are massive entrances.
Yeah, Gillette holds 68,000. So you're talking about 34,000 or a Revolution game. they tarp off the top. Yes. That's not funny. That's not true. Lots of New England Revolution fans, Fred. Tons of them. Tons.
Yeah, go ahead and email me. I really care.
Build a stadium downtown. Come on. Make it work. Yeah,
right.
Please.
Right.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, too, is
because I cannot go there.
But with all of that, so, I mean, okay, so you still have the people. There's still going to be temperature checks, which is going to make it even longer to get in. So,
checks are going to take 10 seconds. I mean, when people thought that it was going to take forever to get through security after 9/11, it didn't happen. The temperature checks are just going to be something you put on your forehead that takes a second. So, I think that it's doable. I think that the way they plan it is doable. I mean, there's certainly going to be inherent risk. And if you buy the ticket, you're going to have to accept, you know, a certain type of risk. And if you don't choose to do that, then that's perfectly fine.
I guess I'd like to hear how they imagine it being. Like, I'd like to hear their game plan, because it does seem strange to me. Like, you know, 50% of, you know, 70,000 people, still an assload of people that are all leaving at the same time.
Right, but from a building that's meant to handle double the capacity. So you're really thinning things out. I mean, it just...
Maybe that's the case. It's tough to imagine it right now, thinking about it, but maybe.
When they start opening things, I mean, there's going to be inherent risk, and one can choose to do it or not do it. I mean, it's perfectly acceptable, you know, and perfectly rational to go, I don't want to do this. It's something I don't feel comfortable with. But all they can do is say, this is as safe as we think we can make it. There's, you know, a demand for this product, and this is what we're going to try to do. And certainly if you're in a situation with someone who's compromised or someone who's older, or you feel that you don't trust what they're doing and you don't think that it's safe, then absolutely don't do it. All right, Rich, there was an event this weekend, an event that I, you know, tuned in and out of, but was a little sad that so many people were home watching. I guess the weather must not have been very good in Massachusetts.
No,
because
it was not that good.
Because people were sitting through a lot. Not a bad event, but a very, 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 very long event. We will talk about that. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.